Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are with another edition of the NOLA Rundown. This is Will Osgood. And for maybe the first time in our podcast history, or at least this kind of new era of it, Jason Bernos is on the phone before Jordan Grove. I cannot believe it.
Do I get a gold star?
You get something, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I'll give you some praise. How about that?
Oh, man. You the man.
Hey, but not to be outdone, here's Jordan. He made it.
Yes, I did.
Slap hands.
All right, well.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, and we got a lot to talk about. It feels like there's been so much that's happened, even in just 6 days. I'm going to go on the record and say we're going to do a part two of this tomorrow night, if y'all are down.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, let's get into it. So, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. What'd y'all think? Any big surprises? Anything that caught you off guard? Anything that you just feel like you have to talk about?
You mean Sister Jean? Sister Jean Smitty.
That's the big. That's one of the big headlines, isn't it?
Oh man!
Yeah,
that's gonna win it all.
Nobody. Yeah, like it's Loyola Chicago. Like nobody saw that coming.
I mean, I went to Loyola New Orleans. Does that count?
Yeah, of course. Y'all are sister schools.
Yeah, I mean, they're
the same color.
Yeah, so I feel like just because of that, you have to root for them.
I mean, yeah. What is a Rambler though? What is the thing? What is it?
They're the Wolves. So
the
like wolves? Rambling Wolves. Yeah.
I don't just call them the Wolves.
I don't know, because that is mean, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know.
Don't talk to Sister Jean. That don't be mean to Sister Jean.
So yeah, like it's funny. Like, you've got chalk on one side of the bracket. And then you've got, like, you know, Michigan against Loyola Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Although,
nobody's
I mean,
like,
to be
nobody's
fair,
like Michigan since the Fab Five, so it's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, like, if you had said at the beginning of this tournament, you know, Michigan's going to make the Final Four, I don't think a ton of eyebrows would have been raised about that.
No, they weren't. They were kind of peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
I was going to ask. I was surprised by that. I really thought Duke was the better team there.
Yeah. I kept telling, as I was watching, I was like, I couldn't. They just get down by about 10 points, come right back like it was nothing. Got an overtime and just lost it.
Yeah. Although, you know, I mean, if Grayson Allen makes that shot at the end of regulation, it's, you know, totally different. So,
yeah, he kind of held on to it a little longer for my liking. Looked like he kind of just wanted that shot and didn't want to pass it to an open guy.
Yeah. Well, he's a senior leader. I think he probably felt like it was his right to take that shot, I guess. I don't know.
He got two lottery picks down low, and you had a full, I mean, you had time. You could have fed him down low. Just saying.
Yeah, but lottery picks doesn't mean, you know, alpha dog of a team, though, of a college team, especially nowadays.
It meant that when Okafor was on Duke, and Grayson Allen was, what, a sophomore at that time? Maybe a freshman. I'd say a sophomore.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Grayson Allen wasn't a senior then.
Right.
But anyway, an interesting tidbit that I don't think I've heard anyone mention that I noticed is something that all four teams share in common. They were all conference tournament champions, which I don't know if that's, I mean, I'd have to do some research. I'm sure it's happened plenty of times. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So if you're looking at something that could have, like if you knew that in advance or something, I don't know. Just, I found that to be an interesting tidbit.
Yep, it helped build Mo into the tournament. But, I mean, look at them. Kansas and Villanova were two of the best programs in the country for most of the year. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a surprise, especially Villanova.
Right. Well, and that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know. I look at who's left. To me, Villanova is hands down by far the best team, and I would be shocked if they don't win it. Like, now. I mean, what do y'all think?
Yeah. I feel like Villanova's kind of played the most difficult road to get to the Final Four, just based off of this different styles that they've had to play. They've had to go through a lot of teams that play like some incredible defense. Like that game against West Virginia was an outright war. And then Texas Tech, I mean, that was also a tough matchup, but they beat them by 12. And I thought Alabama was actually going to kind of give them hell because they play pretty good defense. And they just cut through Alabama like it was nothing.
Right.
So,
well, and Alabama probably had better athletes than Villanova too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think going up against, I'm really looking forward to both games, but the Villanova-Kansas game I think should be an instant classic.
Should be.
I think Nova wins, but I think Nova wins over Loyola Chicago instead of over Michigan. I think Loyola Chicago gets past Michigan.
I can see that.
You think
because I've been listening to a couple people, and it's like if you take out the names and just go by numbers, I mean, what they're like 32-5 this year, and there's a lot of stats where they're in the top 20 out of like whatever 300 teams there is in Division One.
And, one of the best defensive teams in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way they're able to
shooting.
Their offense is very efficient. They're not necessarily they're not like Villanova where they're just going to shoot the crap out of the ball. But Villanova also plays a lot more possessions in the game. So.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people out there that are saying that the three other teams in this Final Four with Nova are kind of like carbon copies of the way Villanova has basically maintained success the last 5 or 7, years or so. And so it's not going to be a surprise to anybody else of how they play. It's basically going to be mirror images, just with a little tweak here and there.
So the personnel's a little bit different, but
Yeah, no doubt. But, no, that's why I think it's just going to be – because both teams on the Michigan-Loyola side can play, great defense. It's going to be who's, shooting hotter, that particular day that's going to face a number one seed Monday night.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That seems to be what it'll look like. Who you got? I mean, put your picks out there for the heck of it. Who you got? So, Jason, so you got Loyola and Villanova, is that right?
Yeah, Loyola Nova.
Loyola Nova, and who's going to win that?
Nova.
Nova, okay. And Jordan?
Yeah, same and same. Villanova, I'll pick them to win a national championship. Back when the conference tournaments were starting up, and they've continued to be my pick to win it all. And just from now having watched Loyola Chicago play a couple games and then watched Michigan play, mm-hmm. I think that Loyola Chicago, while Michigan has better athletes, I think Loyola mm-hmm. Chicago has a better scheme and a better way to utilize the talent that they do have. And mm-hmm. I think they've got better shooters than Michigan, so I think they won a close one. And then I kind of feel like Villanova is going to just shoot the lights out in the national championship game to win, yeah. to beat them.
Gotcha. Well, I'm gonna buck it a little bit. I agree with y'all on Villanova. I've thought Kansas was overrated all year. Now they have improved, but I feel like Villanova is just, like I said, the superior team there. I would love to see a Loyola Chicago win in one sense, but I do feel like Michigan's the better basketball team. I don't think they've played their best game in the tournament yet, and they've gotten to the Final Four, which is pretty incredible, if true. Now, I know they played really well, shot really well, at least, against who'd they play in the Sweet 16 again? No,
Florida State.
The Sweet 16, I'm not sure. I'd have to look at a bracket.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I forget it now. Anyway, yeah, when they scored 99 points, yes. Okay, they shot the ball great in that game, but I mean, that was incredible shooting. I still don't think they've played their best overall game yet. And I have to think they'll probably bring that against Loyola. But even their best, assuming that they get there, won't be good enough to beat Villanova. So I agree. Villanova, just I have them going against Michigan.
Are they playing Texas A&M in the Sweet 16?
That's what it was. There you go. There you go. So we'll see. We all have Villanova winning, so no huge disagreements there, I guess. What do y'all think about, well, before we get down really to free agency, and like I said, we're probably going to talk a lot more about this hopefully tomorrow too, so we don't have to necessarily rush through this, but one thing that came out today that's Saints related was just that, golly, my brain is fried now. Mrs. Benson, or I guess Miss Benson, maybe now, I don't know how that technically works, at the NFL owners meeting, made the declaration she would never consider selling the Saints or the Pelicans. Is that good? Is that bad? Are you surprised? What do you think?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's always a good thing whenever you're going to have steady ownership for until her death, I'm guessing. But I think what that's going to do is once she passes is create a huge power vacuum, and then someone's going to have to buy the team. So, you know, it's great. It's great for now, but there's no solid plan in the future for what's going to happen after she passes, because it's not like she's got kids she can pass the team down to.
Right.
And like I was telling somebody earlier, like somebody's saying, why wouldn't you just sell it? It's quick cash, whatever. Yeah, but you're 7 years old. You don't, like, you're in this city where basically you're like a queen of the city, because, you know, you own both beloved sports teams in the town that are doing pretty well. So why would you just cash out and just go in Florida, Arizona? Why not just stay in one of the most culturally greatest cities in the world where you can just live like a queen? I mean,
and she's and she's from there, and she's from here too. Like, she's from New Orleans, so she's gonna stay and she's gonna keep the team. But I don't know, hell, maybe she's just going to hand the team down to Mickey Loomis and then he's going to become owner.
No, you'll see some local group of celebrities buy it from her in about 20 years or 15, whatever.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, well, that's what I was kind of thinking that. Like, he, by the time his career is over and he's a smart business type guy, he probably would have the money to at least be part of a partnership.
If I was him, I'd have took a $10 million a year deal and took the other part of the money as percentage and ownership.
Yep.
And just let that, you know, like, hey.
Well,
that's what most of those quarterbacks should do. When, like, Brady should really do. Like, you're already taking bottom, like, mid, you know,
right.
range money from quarterbacks. Might as well get a percentage out of it.
Well, I'm not sure that's allowed, though.
hey.
With the NFL collective bargaining agreement.
That's coming up, too. So, you know, you need to finagle that in there.
Well, and if anyone could do it, it'd be Breeze, because I think didn't he have a role in the Players Association?
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it.
Yeah, Roger Goodell loves him. Like, loves him. Everybody from the Saints loves so much.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of, big-time business person from New Orleans that could buy the Saints. I don't know. Maybe Flirty Girl is going to buy the Saints.
Oh, get out of here. Shut up.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
It does, but I mean, you're right. It does leave a question for the future, but for now, I agree. I think it's a good thing.
Jimmy Jones.
Yeah.
Walk-ons.
Yeah.
Super fast.
Oh, boy.
We're not off the rails yet.
Not yet. I mean, we're getting there, but we're not there yet. I'm sure a couple more segments talking about...
You mind your business, Will.
Talking about Ndamukong Suh
sure.
and Odell Beckham. Oh. I'm sure we'll get there.
Sue you.
you would.
And
so, yeah, so about him, about Sue, signed a one-year, $14 million deal with the Los Angeles Rams today.
It's almost like the same deal J.J. Redick got from the 76ers.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much. I would have never thought to put those two together.
I have no. That's too good. That's too good. Oh man, you just won the internet today.
I didn't even have to show my ass.
And Dominican Sue.
Thank God.
And JJ Redick. In a very relevant sentence.
Uh-huh. Well. The relevance is still still debatable, but
erroneous.
So was it surprising that he signed with the Rams?
Oh, I think so.
Was the Saints' pursuit not enough?
Oh man!
You're rolling. You know, you just take this ship on home, okay?
They were, you know, like a bowl of soup. It was hot and it was cold.
Oh, my God.
The VJ.
Ba-doom, dooch.
Ba-doom-ch. Yeah. So get all your soup puns out of the way. I think maybe you have.
To Hankins whenever they sign Jonathan Hankins. We're going to be Hankins, the front office. You shut up, you. He is.
Oh, my. Well, hey, I mean, the fact the Saints didn't sign him, it kind of leaves that door open.
The door's not open.
But, yeah, just...
First off, who gives Sue $14 million? And the Jets offer was more than that?
Yeah.
I like the Jets' reasoning, too. Like, yeah, we had this this deadline, you know, and this guy, we said, well, if deadline passes, we're going to take this offer back. And the guy's like, wait, we actually want to play for your crappy franchise. I'm like, no, well, we got this deadline. Got to keep this deadline.
Let's give him $20 million for 1 year. No, wait, what the fuck? What the hell are we doing?
Holy shit. They had a holy shit moment. And that's what that happened.
That's one of those great, like, great moves that we didn't make, right?
Dude, they left that, all that tequila left their body and was like, whoa. What was that? Press redial on that. Call 69 it right now. We need to get him back on the phone.
I'm wondering what the Saints offer to him was. So obviously it wasn't $14 million for a year. Wondering if it was like 2 years for like $22 million.
Dude, I guarantee you the Saints didn't make an offer.
Like
the Saints didn't make an offer. Their representatives probably came to them and at that visit was like, this is what you're going to have to be in a ballpark to do something with. And the Saints were basically like laughing at that. And that's why it was considered a feeling out process or a feeling out meeting. And it wasn't anything real. Like, Sue was never coming here. We never had the money to pay Sue. He wanted quarterback money. He always did. He wants $1 million a game. And he almost got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably only going to play 14 games max anyway. So, you know, I mean, because he'll probably get two suspensions in the year. So
he'll stomp on somebody.
Or one 2-game suspension. Yeah. But yeah, so it leaves open the door for Jonathan Hankins. I was looking at the Saints cap room, and if I'm reading it right, because NFL salary cap is so damn confusing, but if I'm reading it right, they have about $5.6 million in cap space right now.
Did you carry it too?
There's literally no two in the number, so.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Jason. Okay.
Just making sure your math's right. Just making sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no two in the number, but.
Okay, we're good.
But so, I mean, certainly the Saints could get Jonathan Hankins for 5.6 a year, right?
It might need to show out like 6, but there's ways to make more cap room. I mean, Loomis math thing. Like the salary cap is just a social construct, so he can do whatever he needs in order to make cap room.
Or you just give him $4 million in a signing bonus and put $2 million towards the cap.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably
So then, like, you're going to go into, I guess, the draft, because say you sign Hankins, you might be able to get, like, Ben Watson or Antonio Gates to sign for a vet minimum deal to be like, hey, look, you know, we'll sign you to the vet man, and then you can end your career playing with Drew Brees. But they've got a trash heap at wide receiver after Michael Thomas. So, like, some turf toe or something like that, like, they're going to be screwed.
Yeah.
I think they draft two receivers.
Well, shut up.
Okay.
I wanted to
now
go there next. So,
I just want that on record that I didn't do it this time.
Yeah, it was my fault. My bad. My bad for saying shut up.
Sure.
Yeah, so apparently the Saints brought in former Chicago Bears receiver Cameron Meredith today.
No speed.
And yeah,
I don't like him.
He's
got a girl name.
actually don't mind him as a receiver, but he's just, he's going to go get a receiver when he's coming off a torn ACL. Like,
yeah.
I get it. It's like Tommy John now, but like, you know, come on, man. Like, every receiver has a torn ACL, but come on, man.
Yeah.
Get a little speed
out
there.
Well, and then, yeah, so, I mean, at best, that would probably be like a, he's coming in to be maybe like your fourth receiver if you sign him, right?
Who's your second and third?
Well, that's
Yen is your second, and I don't know who's
well,
your third.
So,
Coleman. So he'd be coming in as your third receiver. But
yeah.
They slapped the right of first refusal on him, like, so he's got the same tender that Willie Snead does. So any offer that Saints give him. Yeah, I don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure that dude knows how to use Uber.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Well, so I said fourth receiver for a reason. Because, like y'all said, I mean, there's certainly the potential of drafting a receiver or two, and we'll probably talk about that tomorrow, who that could possibly be. But in the couple of minutes we have left, why don't we just go all off the rails, and why not bring in Odell Beckham Jr.?
Because he's going to cost $18 million a year, and the dude's, like, troubled on-field and off-field. Like, he's talented. Like, that dude goes to the bathroom and poops talent, but there's just nothing that he can do down here that won't cause trouble. I'd love to bring in ODB, but
you're gonna cause trouble regardless. You put him with Breeze, Thomas, Kamara, Ingram. It doesn't matter who's the dumpster fire at tight end. Okay, the offense is gonna be putting up record numbers. You were gonna more than likely get a receiver with that first pick. Why not trade this first rounder and next year's first rounder? Pay that man that money. You'll pay Michael Thomas that money. You'll get an average quarterback when it comes time to replace Breeze, because you won't get one through the draft because you're hard-headed. Okay, so you're going to go out on the free agent market after Breeze is gone. You know, we're gonna be in the Billy Joe Hobart days for about 3 years after Breeze is gone. So it really doesn't matter who's the quarterback at that point. Just put all the skilled players around him, you know, and make somebody look like Kirk Cousins. Just don't give him the Kirk Cousins money, you know. So I say you go get his ass, and you put him back down here in New Orleans, and you should have got Honey Badger. You know, he can get Honey Badger next year. Bring his bad. Just bring all the badass brown and yellow head LSU players all down here. So we have some fun before Breeze retires. Just saying.
I mean,
you're welcome.
If you say something, I usually try to disagree with it, just because I know it's probably retarded. But
wow.
I'm not 100.
I know, right? Jeez Louise. Just going at me like
Jason pissing your cereal this morning?
Would you rather me just say, hey, let's just draft Christian Kirk with that first pick, or DJ Chalk with the third rounder?
Well, no, then I would have disagreed with you.
Yeah, right. Because you want James Washington.
Oh, hello.
I actually do kind of like him. I was just looking at the film, but...
Oh, man.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Jordan, that he would cost an arm and a leg, and I'm not sure his salary's worth it. But I'm also not necessarily opposed to giving up the draft picks for a guy who's proven and would have, I mean, he'd be playing for a better quarterback than he had in a better offense than he had. And I think he'd get his acting gear, but I don't know.
Just think about this. What that does is that costs you probably re-signing Rankins. I'm going to say that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
because I think that's the next person coming up, if I'm not mistaken. But
and we're out of time.
So
we had that pace so well, and then Well, hey, we can literally just pick up our conversation from there.
Okay, bye.